This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. At 5:45, it'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature. A little after 5:20, we'll have on with us Renee Nadeau from Crescent City Sports. Renee, we're going to try to do this weekly as we lead up into the summer and get you familiar with some of the high school head coaches and some of the top players in our area per capita. Louisiana produces more NFL players than any other state in the union, which is unbelievable, but you can see the passion here. So we want to try to work that into what we do here at WWL and get to talk to the coaches and players involved and hear their stories because once the football season started, then we inundated. If it's LSU, Tulane, Saints, and so we want to kind of get you familiar with some of the top players and coaches in our region. It is going to be Saints rookie mini camp this weekend and sort of a pajamas and slippers operation there, Charlie. You're not going to see much out of this. There's no hitting or anything else there. But somebody had texted me about who do you think is going to be the most talked to, maybe undrafted free agent. And I said, James Burnip, the punter from Alabama. He's a 6'6" dude from Australia. And he can pop it. I mean, if you watched Alabama play, he struggled a little early in his career. He wasn't used to hitting the football like that. And then, man, he became much better as a punter at the University of Alabama. And I think he's in competition here because he has got a leg and he has become a much better directional kicker throughout his time frame with the Crimson Tide. Also, Marcus Yoans from Delaware, the running back. And I know, you know, they picked Devin Neal, and I think a lot of Neal as a player. But Marcus Yoans at Delaware, kind of a shortcut runner, a guy that can hit the hole quickly, and then he can accelerate really, really, really fast. And so those, I think, some of the guys that you're going to hear interviews from. We're really not going to be able to tell about, you know, who looks impressive and who doesn't. That doesn't happen in these sort of mini camp things. Man, I heard a couple of people on the air last night talking about, oh, you're going to see this and see that. No, you're not going to see. You get an opportunity to talk to them, and we fortunate here at WWL, we were able to talk to every draft choice, but the final one, Diggs. And so we'll get a chance to talk to him, pass rush specialist, the Gatorade Player of the Year in New Jersey. He goes to Texas A&M, leaves there, goes to Syracuse. I thought he really played well last year. I thought he got picked a round and a half later than I would have projected him because he flashes some really good pass rush skills. So those are some of the guys that maybe we haven't heard from or you will hear interviews from. And I know Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak will be at the Saints camp Saturday. to have those interviews with the draft choices, Mike, and the unsigned free agents, undrafted free agents.
Kind of building off of what you were just saying, you know, I'm glad you brought up Marcus Shards, because when we were talking about the UDFAs, that was one of the first ones that really jumped out of the page to me, was that, you know, NFL.com had him as the 16th ranked running back in this class via total score, which they combine production from college, he was very productive at Delaware, and then the athleticism score from the NFL Combine, where he did measure in his kind of slighter of frame at 5'11", 193 pounds. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's got good speed. And if you're reading about his strengths, he's got good hands, could be a good pass catching back. And for a Saints running back room, that's Alvin Kamara and question marks. Now you added in Devin Neal, the draft pick, but also Marcus Jones, I think, has a chance here because he's definitely an enticing prospect. Someone that I think kind of went under the radar. I thought he was going to get drafted. But, you know, I get it's an FCS program, a smaller school, but I'll be looking for him to potentially make the most of his opportunity at Saints rookie minicamp.
Okay, Charlie, what he didn't win, what I tell you all the time, he didn't win the offseason.
Yeah.
Okay, he won the regular season. But, again, a lot of times people don't get it. That's something that does play a part in where you get drafted. Not if you make it in the NFL. We saw Pierre Thomas do that here. Okay. And Pierre, I remember telling this story, I didn't win the offseason. I didn't win it. But look how the production I had at University of Illinois. And yet, I went undrafted completely. When he got here, he looked like the third-round pick or fourth-round pick and not Pittman from Ohio State. He looked like the much better player. And I give Coach Payton a lot of credit. A lot of times, coaches, man, I don't like my reputation being soiled that I didn't pick a guy, you know, and I got to cut loose that early draft choice. Well, you better pick the guy that can help you win. The other guy is Chris Tyree. I saw him initially. He's from the Virginia area, but he went to Notre Dame first. And then last year he was at Virginia. And he can help you in the return game. Man, he got some speed now. He can run, flat out run. But Charlie, he was a five-star recruit when he came out of high school, goes to Notre Dame. I remember at that time it was Alabama and Michigan and Penn State and Florida State. They were all after Chris Tyree. And I think he's a guy, because of his speed and his return ability, gives him an opportunity. Now, again, we won't see that over the weekend, but as training camp builds up and also in the preseason, Tyree's a guy to watch. He's immensely gifted. Now, he needs a little bit of work as a route runner, but he can do one thing really well, and that's return punts and kicks. Yes. That's a big plus in this league.
Especially with Rashid Shaheed suffering that injury last season. Like, I mean, if you want to make the teams, we always talk about special teams, right? Being a core place for these late round draft picks or even UDFAs to try and make a roster. And I think we'll see what Tyree can do in practice if he shows off to the Saints special team staff, is that he could be a potential returner at the NFL level. But we're always getting these texts, Mike, like, who are the UDFAs? Who are the diamonds in the rough? Because the Saints have found some in the past. Who should we kind of keep an eye on, type of thing? But I like some of the names that we've thrown out.
Yeah, and again, Chris Tyree and Marcus Yarns.
I'm on the Marcus Yarns bandwagon, Mike. Like, something about him tells me that he could be a pass catching back at the NFL level. I know that he's not the biggest guy in the world, but you know, the production was there in college. I just, you know, love reading Lance Zierlein's thoughts on him on NFL.com. The athleticism is there as well, even though he's not, once again, the biggest guy in the world. He's an interesting one to keep an eye on in a Saints running back room that is still pretty wide open past Alvin Kamara.
What I like with him is his eyes, his vision. He sees the hole, and it don't take long for the brain to tell the body what to do, and he's up the field. Sometimes there's a little hesitancy, and it's almost, you know, a dance group. Okay, he shuffles the feet, and then he gets caught. And also the punter, Burnup. And he's an interesting personality. When they're going to get to interview him, man, he got some pretty good tales about those days when he lived in Australia. When we come back, we'll have on with us Renee Nato from Crescent City Sports, talking a little bit about the high school talent here in the area, especially at Edna Carr, and also his thoughts on the Saints and the draft.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from Crescent City Sports, he's done this for over 40 years, Mr. Rene Nadeau. Rene, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Mike, it's always special when we visit, buddy.
Appreciate it. Rene, before we get talking Saints, I want to ask you, you wrote an article for Crescent City Sports about John Johnson, the quarterback for Edna Carr, who committed to Liberty. Man, they got Liberty coaches all over in this area recruiting. Now, we'll say this about Johnson. If he was 6'2", he ain't going to Liberty. You know what I mean? But he is, you know, they list him at 5'11". I'm not sure if that's exactly his size. He's certainly a playmaker, but, man, he's got a couple guys on that team I'd like for you to comment about. And one of them certainly is Richard Anderson, the big defensive tackle, 6'3", 330 pounds, the most highly recruited defensive lineman in the state of Louisiana. He's already verbally committed to LSU. Man, he's a big dude coming off that bus, and he can play the run well. But he could have went anywhere in the country. He's one of those type of guys. So for people who haven't watched Richard Anderson play, kind of give us a little bit of insights on Richard.
Well, you know, Mike, it's interesting you mention that, because Richard Anderson is a guy who reminds me, because Richard Anderson played at 365 pounds in a state title game. He reminds me of a guy that you know well, Tyler Shelvin, when he went to LSU. You got to watch that weight. He's very skilled. He's a behemoth. He closes the lanes pretty quickly. Huge base. Heavy hands, a short area quickness. But he's a guy that's got to watch that weight. If he stays 330, 340, Mike, he could be a very special guy. Could be that nose, and could be a dominating defensive lineman. You mentioned John Johnson. He reminds me of Herb Tyler. Herb Tyler,
yes.
27.
Bingo.
Starter. And an undersized guy, Mike, that nobody thought much of. Herb Tyler comes out of Old Perry Walker, and John Johnson has committed to Liberty. But, you know, Nebraska offered him as an athlete, and Tulane has put an offer on the table as well. But, you know, he could be the best player in the state of Louisiana this year. And, you know, he's Edna Carr is loaded with talent, as you said. They have five or six, seven major college commitments. They probably have the best secondary, and not in the state, one of the best secondaries in the country. They have Aiden Hall, who committed to LSU as a safety. Haywood Howard is a guy who's going to commit July 23rd. He's got LSU, Miami, Ole Miss, and Texas. And another guy, Maurice Williams, is a guy who's a Liberty commit as well. Is a 5'10", 185-pound cornerback who's also committed to Liberty. So those are three guys who are Division I prospects in the same secondary at Edna Carr.
Man, you talk about loaded. And one thing, Bryce Brown does a fantastic job. And people say, okay, is it the talent? It's him. No, it's him and the talent. Because a lot of times, Rene, you like me, you talk to coaches, sometimes the most talented teams, they don't win. They don't win it all for one reason or another. Man, Bryce has done a fantastic job there. I'll get you to talk a little bit more about Aiden Hall. who has played safety, also played in the nickel, and it's his ability to match up downfield. Now, physically, for me, in watching him, he needs to put on a little bit of weight and muscle to his frame. But where LSU has missed the bus is now with when you got three wide receiver sets and a flex tight end, you cannot put one of these guys that all they want to do is get up the field and stop the run. You got to be able to match up in the coverage part of the game, and that's where I think Aiden Hall is really good at, being able to match up if it's in the slot or if it's a tight end.
And you're right, Mike, and you hit the nail on the button. He's 6'1", about 170, 175, but he can play cornerback, safety, or nickelback. He's a great tackler in space, even though he's not a big guy. Great pursuit angles, doesn't take a false step, and he's very instinctive. He's got great ball skills, and that's what I like about Aiden Hall. He's a guy that can hit the campus at LSU and get in that depth chart pretty quickly. I mean, he gets it. You know, he's one of these guys, Mike, as you know and Charlie knows, you know, you don't have to tell him twice, and that's very important when you get on campus or you get on camp tomorrow with the New Orleans Saints. If you get it quicker, it helps the learning curve, and you can learn things a lot faster.
One of the things too is we talked about Liberty, and man, I've seen two coaches for Liberty. Now, one of the reasons is they got not only a commitment, but they signed Jalen Coleman. Remember last year from Vanderbilt Catholic out in Houma, and he had a number of teams after him. He ends up at Liberty, and now they got two commitments from Edna Carr. So when you hear that, you can see that there's connections here with a couple of Liberty coaches. Renee, when you look at it across the board, how good is the Catholic League this year, from your opinion?
Oh my God. You know, I tell you what, Edna Carr is good. Brother Martin's going to be good. A Jesuit, Rummel. Holy Cross, it's going to be a dogfight, as it always is. And you know, I asked Bryce Brown when we had a conversation a month or so ago. I said, Bryce, you know, sometimes these TV networks want to pair up the best prep teams in the country in a preseason game. Would you be interested for the right money? He said, Renee, it would have to be a deal I couldn't turn away, because he said, I play a killer schedule. I play the hardest schedule in the country. And for me to play another preseason game against a national power, it would really take a sweetheart of a deal. So, you know, and I said, but Carr's going to attract that kind of attention. And he's right. I mean, Edna Carr is not only thought of well in the state of Louisiana, but nationwide, schools, as you know, schools from all over the country are coming down and on a campus, Edna Carr, on a regular basis to recruit those kind of players. And I'm going to tell you, a guy I didn't mention, you know, Edna Carr's turned out some great linemen, Cornelius Lucas and Kelvin Hughes and Bernard Robinson. They got a tackle that's going to be a four-star guy this year, Leon Noel, and he's being recruited by everybody. And Liberty's one of them, Ole Miss, Houston, Missouri, Nebraska. So they got about six or seven major college prospects on this year's team and about two or three for next year.
Renee, looking at the Saints in the 2025 NFL draft, I think, you know, maybe the black and gold surprised some folks by taking Kelvin Banks, the left tackle from Texas, a three-year starter at left tackle for the Longhorns. But, you know, you saw the picture that they posted recently when Teron Armstead retired, and it was Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk and Drew Brees. And you think back to those Saints offenses that were so elite, led by Brees, obviously, but they also had the legendary bookend tackles with Armstead and Ramczyk. And, you know, after Taliese Fuanga really hit last year, I think they're trying to get back to that, obviously, and having those really strong bookend tackles, getting Kelvin Banks, who they were obviously very high on with a top 10 pick.
You know, you're right, Charlie. And Kelvin Banks, only 21 years old, and as y'all have talked about before, almost 1,500 snaps. He's only allowed four sacks. He's been a three-year starter, two-year captain. Great technique, Lombardi, an Outland winner. And now they're comparing him a little bit to Laremy Tunsil, who's interesting, because that is pretty close. I think he's got the skills. Kelvin Banks has the skills to be a long-term guy, like a Willie Rope or a Teron Armstead, barring any injuries. But he's got great technique and great space, plays with a lot of leverage. So that was a can't-miss pick for the first round. I think they needed to shore up that offensive line. But I think the Saints had an outstanding draft, and they bringing in some guys. I did a story, which is running on Crescent City Sports, on the best undrafted free agents, college free agents, the Saints have ever brought in. And it'll be amazed to look at that list and see how so many good players two of the guys who Saints brought in as undrafted free agents are in the Saints Hall of Fame, Sammy Knight and Pierre Thomas. So, you can't overlook those undrafted free agents the Saints will have in town tomorrow as well.
Renee, we're just talking about the undrafted free agents, and I was talking to Charlie that, the running back from Delaware certainly jumped because he was so productive. The other guy is Chris Tyree. He was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. He goes to Notre Dame. The production kind of waned a little bit, but one thing he could do is return punts and kicks. Didn't have great numbers, and he had a little injury last year at Virginia. I think he's another guy because a lot of times as an undrafted free agent, just like Burnham, the punter from University of Alabama, you're looking for a specific spot there. I think Tyree gives you maybe an opportunity here because of – I don't really know that they're going to put Rashid Shaheed back returning kicks anymore.
Well, he brings up similarities to Rashid Shaheed, and Tyree is a guy who, as you know, Mike, better than anybody, he runs in a 4-3 range, and he's a gunner on special teams, can return punts and kick returns. Moochie Dixon is another guy they brought in from SMU, runs a sub-4 440. They are addressing areas they really need to upgrade and make stronger. They bring in the Shaheem Davis, edge rusher from Wake Forest, who got a $10,000 bonus and $30,000 guaranteed. And, you know, he's got 25 and a half sacks during his time in Wake Forest and 52 tackles for loss. He can play 4-tech, 5-tech, and 9-tech. And you mentioned a yards guy, Mike. That's interesting. 429 career touches and only one fumble. That's interesting. And, you know, he's not only a good runner, he had 64 catches at Delaware, 812 yards and 11 scores. So they're bringing in guys they think can compete for legitimate spots on the roster, if not maybe on a practice squad that can be moved up a little bit later. So I think they brought in some quality talent.
Renee, one of the things you and I have talked about on the air, off the air is, I know you felt strongly that they would use an early round pick on a cornerback. It's seeming and still there. I understand they drafted a cornerback, but for me, I'm not real sure I want to enter the season with maybe what I would call a little bit of a lack of experience at that cornerback spot. I still think somewhere along the line, if it's somebody who gets cut, if it's somebody maybe in a trade, this team doesn't have a big man receiver, and they could use another cornerback.
Yeah, I agree with that because you got Alante Taylor, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Isaac Yiadom and Rico Payton, who's an undrafted free agent last year. Quincy Riley is a guy who does have great ball skills, Mike, fourth-round pick. He does remind me a little bit, not as physical, of C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who was a fourth-round pick in 2019. But Quincy Riley is a guy that I think they're going to try a corner and nickel, high IQ. And they lost Paulson Adebo and Marshawn Lattimore. So they really need guys, as you said, to step up. You know, they can't afford to have guys coming in and taking a long time to learn the process. So Quincy Riley and to a degree, Jonas Sanke as a safety are going to have to come in and hit the ground running because the Saints need help at that spot and need good depth at both of those areas.
Renee, before we let you run, I want to get your thoughts on Devin Neal because it feels like the Saints are getting a lot of positive press about that selection in day three, one of the best picks of the sixth round. But, you know, the production level that he had at Kansas, he broke all these rushing records, all these rushing touchdown records, basically reset the record book for the Jayhawks program, and he stayed there. And so the college production was there for him. You know, he feels like a very high floor player that also has some good upside as well.
Yeah, and Charles, that's a good point. You know, he played in 40 games, 40 consecutive games, and that says a lot. I'm sure there was times he didn't want to get out there, but 4,300 yards for his career, over 5.7 yards per carry, 49 touchdowns, and he broke records that were set by John Riggins and Gale Sayers, two NFL Hall of Famers, but 115 carries of runs of 10 yards or more. So he touches the ball, and there's a good chance he's got a first down for you, but once again, like yards, he's got – Devin Neal, 760 carries, only four fumbles, and that's a reliable guy. I can see Devin Neal, unless he gets injured, can get in that mix really, really quickly. And Alvin Kamara, he's starting to maybe turn the corner a little bit. He had his biggest year last year, 950 yards. But I tell you, fellas, I can see Devin Neal getting on the field, and he makes things happen. It's going to be hard to move him off. He's a guy that can spell Alvin Kamara and be a quality back.
Renee, the other thing with Devin Neal is, name me another guy on that Kansas offense.
That's a good point.
Okay, and that silence tells you the story. No, if I'm playing the Jayhawks, I know exactly who I'm trying to stop. It's Devin Neal, and look at the production that he gave out there on the field. That tells you a lot about a player when, okay, he doesn't have these 4- and 5-star recruits around him. Okay, it's not like he's playing at LSU or Georgia or Alabama. So that's what's impressive to me with Devin Neal and also his attitude. When we had him on that Saturday to talk about, I'm coming in here to work and I'm coming in here to help this football team win. That to me tells the whole story. And that's not a kind of speech he practiced, because we got him on almost right after he got drafted. He really feels that way as an individual, and you like that in his mental makeup.
Yeah, and you know, Mike, I know you talk to him, but the thing is, he comes across as a guy with a little bit of a military background. And I'm not saying that's accurate, but he's very organized and he's very structured and he knows what he wants and he knows what he does what he needs to do to be successful. And Devin Neal is the kind of guy that he's going to be hard to get out of the lineup. And I think he does so many things well. He blocks. He's a willing blocker. He's not a big guy, about 215, 212, something like that. But he's a guy that can, again, give you quality snaps. And again, with Alvin Kamara, the situation there, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you don't know what Kendra Miller's going to do this year. I think they really need a guy, or could use a guy, can step in and really make things happen.
Renee, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy talking to you, my friend, and we'll speak soon.
I hope so. God bless both of you guys. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Renee.
Thank you, Renee. Renee Nato from Crescent City Sports. Been covering the pro and high school, college scene. He's like me. Got 40 years. Got that 4 to start things. We'll be back with our Bet 365 triple option feature right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, it's our Bet 365 triple option feature. Steve. That's the ball, brother.
Going to the diamond, guys. Unfortunately for LSU softball, their run at the SEC tournament's come to an end. They lost 4-1 to Oklahoma, their second game in the SEC tourney. Now the Tigers await the NCAA selection show to determine their path for the upcoming tournament. LSU expected to host a regional at Tiger Park next weekend and potentially could be a top 8 national seed, meaning they would also get super regional play the following week as they try to get back to the Women's College World Series. LSU softball finished with the year with a 41-14 record, 13-13 record in SEC play, and coupled with their top 10 strength of schedule and RPI bodes well for them at a chance of hosting postseason play for the next couple of weeks. Just of note, the 2025 NCAA selection show will happen 6 p.m. Sunday, May 11th on ESPN2.
Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with that incredible comeback that the Knicks had against Boston last night. Mike, I know that we've talked a little bit about it throughout the first 2 hours, but it was just insane. A 23-6 run to close out the game for New York. Boston was up 84-68 with 8:32 left, and then they go on that 21-2 run. The Knicks become the first team in NBA history to complete a 20-point comeback in consecutive playoff games, and they do it on the road in Boston to take a 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference semifinals. It's been unreal. And I saw this stat as well. The Celtics, after taking that 20-point lead with about 3:12 left in the third quarter, they went 5 of 28 from the field, 2 of 14 from 3, and had 6 turnovers. Thibodeau is known for his defense. Those guys locked down the Boston Celtics when it mattered most. And it's just, you see the numbers now with Boston still kind of favored in the series very slightly. It's almost kind of like a 50-50 split. And I understand they've been better on the road so far. But what does that do mentally to a team when you have a 20-point lead in back-to-back games and you just drop the ball on both of them?
In their house.
Yeah, at home.
Oh, God.
I get that they're better on the road this year, guys, but I just, and I know that Ryan came on here, Ryan Horvat said that he still trusts the Boston Celtics, but, we'll have to see. I think this game 3 is going to be obviously seismic.
What you bring up with, the Knicks and Boston, as a kid growing up, you sort of remember certain moments. 55 years ago today, the New York Knicks won their first championship. And that moment, Willis Reed, who had a knee issue, hobbles out on the court and hits a couple of early shots. That was it for the Lakers. Game, set, match. And they ended up winning it. But, man, it's kind of ingrained in my head to watch Willis Reed from Grambling College walk on that court when they didn't know if Willis could play or not, and if he could play, just how effective he was. And, man, Willis had a sweet stroke, and he hits a couple of them early, and it was all over for the Lakers. And, we talk about it, with the Knicks, and certainly that team was loaded, where they had Clyde Frazier and Dave DeBuscher and Bill Bradley. You can kind of go on and on with it, but that's embedded in my head, to see that Willis Reed just hobbling out on the basketball court in MSG. And I've had friends of mine that are a little older than me that were there that night. And they said, you never heard it so loud in Madison Square Garden as when Willis Reed walked on the court and then he hits the first shot. And the Lakers had the better team. They really did that day. But, it wasn't meant to be. And the Knicks win their first NBA championship 55 years ago today.
Mike, I think it's going to be raucous for this Game 3 atmosphere, too, at MSG. This is their chance.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'll have to double check here, guys. I don't think there's ever been a 3-0 comeback in NBA history. So, if the Knicks can take Game 3, you're looking at making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Which, by the way, you're talking about history in the NBA. On the opposite side, look who's up 2-0 on Cleveland, Indiana. I think there was some really fun 90s series between the Knicks and the Pacers that we might see revitalized.
Man, I remember that. Now, I was a little older back then, but, man, the Pacers, man, Nick, that you talk about, they went after one each other really, really good. That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Steve, tell everybody what you got cranked up from the 6 to 8 o'clock hour, and you'll be at the Saints camp, you and Jeff, this weekend, right? So get a first opportunity to talk to Fadil Diggs. We didn't get a chance to talk to him on draft day when he got selected, and I've talked about him since they selected him. No, he's a dude I think can help you, and he can rush the quarterback, and he's got a lot of physical gifts that you would want in an edge pass rusher in that rotation.
Yeah, Mike, definitely can't wait to go out there Saturday, see how the new regime of the Saints are going to be doing things, how much different things will run out there. But one of the things I'm also anxious to see, I know it's early on in rookie camp, but still, where's Kelvin Banks Jr. going to line up along the offensive line will be something to spot. And obviously, getting to see Tyler Shuck throw the ball around is definitely going to be everybody's top of the list. But coming up next hour, we'll be getting into Cam Jordan Day. Jeff Nowak was there, our Saints sideline reporter. He'll break it down for us. We'll also hear what he had to say, Cam Jordan, to the media afterwards. And then the 7 o'clock hour, a lot of LSU baseball. Hopefully they can play this weekend against Arkansas.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break.